Introducing Porter & Company Systematic Crypto 2 rules-based strategies built to beat Bitcoin. After taxes and after crashes on February 6, the Crypto Fear and Greed Index, a composite of volatility, momentum, and survey data that has tracked crypto sentiment since 2018, plunged to 5, the lowest level in its history. It then spent more than 60 consecutive days in single digits, more than double the previous record. For perspective, during the COVID crash of March 2020, with global markets in free fall, the index bottomed at 8. In the depths of the 2022 crypto bear market, with Sam Bankman-Fried's FTX collapsing in fraud and the industry's survival in open question, it never fell below 6. Extreme readings like these occur in only two situations: when an asset is dying, and at major bottoms, after the last sellers have finally given up. In a dying asset, fundamentals deteriorate along with the price. As you'll see below, crypto's fundamentals have done the opposite. They have improved dramatically on every front. So we've spent the past several months building something new, a crypto service worthy of the Porter & Company brand. And now, we're finally ready to share it with you. Today, we are introducing Porter & Company Systematic Crypto, two rules-based crypto portfolio strategies, Core and Frontier, built to beat Bitcoin where it matters, after taxes and across a full market cycle. As a Partner Pass member, you receive this service as part of your membership, and you are reading about it before anyone else. We are also launching Systematic Crypto sooner than we planned. Both strategies follow a single long-term trend measure on Bitcoin, evaluated at each month end. Bitcoin, which traded near $62,000 in early August, is now over $77,000 as we write, and this measure is now on pace to turn positive at Monday's month-end close, August 31st, which would be the first new buy signal these rules have generated since the 2023 bull market began. We will send an alert Tuesday morning confirming whether the buy signal triggered. Today's report is everything you need to be ready if it does: what the service is, why we're launching it now, how each strategy works, and exactly how to prepare your account this weekend. The fundamentals keep improving. 3 months ago, in the May 29th Daily Journal, I, Justin Brill, laid out why Porter & Company was looking seriously at crypto for the first time. The short version: in the span of roughly 18 months, the United States went from treating the industry with open hostility, more than 100 enforcement actions by the Securities and Exchange Commission, SEC, banks regulated out of crypto custody, and a presidential veto protecting the rule that kept them out, to full support. That full support includes the Genius Act stablecoin law signed in July 2025, every major banking regulator reversing its restrictive guidance, and an executive order directing the Federal Reserve to study opening its payment rails to crypto firms. Over the same stretch, the institutions that spent a decade calling Bitcoin a fraud, BlackRock, JP Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Schwab, and Vanguard, began custodying it, trading it, recommending it, and selling it to tens of millions of accounts. Yet, despite this fundamental improvement, crypto prices have languished. Today, excluding Bitcoin and stablecoins, the broad crypto market still trades 50% below its late 2021 peak, while stocks, gold, and many commodities have made dramatic new highs. As mentioned earlier, the crypto indicator that measures retail sentiment spent a record stretch of early 2026 at the most fearful readings ever recorded, and some of crypto's most prominent long-term advocates publicly gave up this spring. Improving fundamentals, washed-out prices, abandoned sentiment, that is a winning setup in any asset class. The chart below shows the divergence in one picture. The broad crypto market has essentially gone nowhere over the 5 years in which the S&P 500, gold, and silver moved sharply higher. And since May, the outlook has continued to improve. The liquidity tide turns. Let's start with the economy. The ISM Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, the oldest monthly survey of U.S. factory activity, registered 55.6 in July, its seventh consecutive month of expansion and its strongest reading since May 2022, with new orders at 56.7 and production at 58.5. Manufacturing contracted through most of 2023 and into 2025. It is now unambiguously expanding, and crypto has historically performed best when the industrial cycle accelerates, not when it bottoms. Meanwhile, the Federal Reserve stopped shrinking its balance sheet last year, and in December, the Fed began buying Treasury bills again, roughly $40 billion in the first month, to keep bank reserves growing. The Fed's balance sheet stands at roughly $6.8 trillion today and is rising, while its overnight reverse repo facility, which drained cash from markets for 3 years, has fallen essentially to zero. The Fed is careful not to call any of this quantitative easing, and technically it is not. But the direction is what matters for asset prices. From mid-2022 through late 2025, financial system liquidity was shrinking. Now it is growing. And Bitcoin has been among the most liquidity-sensitive assets in the world for its entire existence. Then there is the U.S. Treasury, which has been aggressively intervening in the bond market. It began under the Biden administration with so-called activist Treasury issuance, where the government shifted a significant portion of its debt issuance to short-term T-bills to suppress long-term yields. But the Trump administration continued this strategy, and has now gone even further. With 10- and 30-year Treasury yields touching 20-year highs this month, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent announced on August 19 that the department would at least double its long-dated bond buybacks to $4 billion or more per operation from September 9 through November 4. Bessent called the operation a Treasury twist, buying long-term bonds and funding the purchases with short-term bills, again an attempt to keep long-term yields from rising. Economists have a name for the regime in which government financing needs steer monetary conditions: fiscal dominance. With the federal deficit at $1.8 trillion through the first 10 months of the fiscal year, it is no longer just a risk. It is the operating manual. Why does this matter for crypto? Because every tool in that manual, heavy short-term bill issuance, bond buybacks, a growing central bank balance sheet, works by making government debt more money-like, while capping the yields that would otherwise compensate its holders. That is the environment in which scarce, non-printable assets attract capital. Gold, up 50%, and silver, up 200%, have already repriced dramatically in the past 12 months. Bitcoin, with about 95% of its fixed supply of 21 million coins already mined, is the scarcest liquid asset ever created. Yet it has largely been left behind. Congress stumbles, the SEC sprints on regulation, the story since May is a stumble and a sprint. First, the Clarity Act, the market structure bill that would divide crypto oversight between the SEC and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, cleared the Senate Banking Committee in May, but never got its floor vote before the August recess. Majority Leader John Thune filed the procedural motion on August 8, setting up a vote for September 15, but with the midterms approaching, passage this year is genuinely in doubt. However, the SEC has officially stopped waiting for Congress. On August 18, the Commission proposed Regulation Crypto Assets, the first crypto-specific rulemaking in the agency's history. The proposal creates two exemptions that let token projects raise capital lawfully, up to $5 million for startups up to $75 million per year with audited financials and ongoing reporting, plus it provides a safe harbor under which a token whose issuer has genuinely decentralized exit securities treatment entirely. It preempts conflicting state registration rules, and the public comment period runs 60 days. SEC Chairman Paul Atkins had been previewing the framework since a March 17 speech, and Commissioner Hester Peirce, who first proposed a token safe harbor in 2020, supplied its intellectual foundation. Step back, and the practical point is simple. The single biggest historical risk to U.S. crypto, arbitrary regulatory destruction, is rapidly shrinking on every front at once, with or without Congress. A stumbling market structure bill would have been devastating front-page news in 2023. In 2026, the regulator is building the framework anyway, by rule, on the record, with the industry invited back onshore. Wall Street moves on-chain. Meanwhile, the most institutionally undeniable use case keeps compounding. Tokenized real-world assets, treasury funds, private credit, commodities, and now stocks, issued on blockchain rails so they settle instantly and can trade around the clock, reached roughly $38 billion in on-chain value in early August, up from about $4 billion at the start of 2025, according to the tracking service RWA, XYZ. Tokenized U.S. Treasury funds alone hold about $16 billion across 85 products, led by BlackRock's Buell at roughly $2.8 billion. McKinsey & Company's 2030 projection for these assets, the most conservative on Wall Street, is roughly $2 trillion. This is not a crypto-native fad. It is banks, asset managers, and exchanges rebuilding the world's financial plumbing. And nearly all of it runs on the networks and businesses these portfolios own. Roughly two-thirds of tokenized value settles on Ethereum today, a growing share on Solana, and the picks and shovels layer, exchange, custody, issuance, lending rails, is precisely what our Frontier Strategies equity basket holds. Abundant intelligence, scarce assets. Finally, the boom in artificial intelligence, AI, may ultimately prove to be the most bullish catalyst of all. You probably know the first half of this argument well, because Porter has been making it for years. Governments carrying unpayable debts do not default outright. They debase, printing the liquidity that keeps the system solvent while quietly taxing every saver. AI adds a second half. AI is threatening to collapse the price of anything that can be reproduced: software, content, expertise, and eventually labor, at the same time that it disrupts the incomes and tax bases governments depend on, forcing still more liquidity in response. Reproducible things get cheaper, and money gets more abundant. Capital, squeezed from both directions, migrates toward the few assets that can be neither reproduced nor printed. Gold is one. Silver is another. Bitcoin is the newest, and, in an increasingly digital economy, arguably the purest. You do not need to be confident in that thesis to follow these strategies. We include it because it is the kind of idea that, if even half right, could explain why gold and silver have already repriced, and why the marginal buyer of scarce assets over the next decade may not be a speculator at all. Why we waited so? If the fundamentals are this good, and we have been saying so since early this year, why has Porter & Company never published a crypto service? Because being right about crypto has never been the hard part. Actually owning it has. Bitcoin, the best performing major asset of the modern era, has fallen more than 75% peak to trough twice in the past decade, and more than 50% three times. And most other cryptos make those declines look tame by comparison. Many investors simply can't stomach that kind of volatility. They inevitably panic sell near the bottom, swear off the asset class, and miss the recovery. So the honest benchmark for any crypto strategy is not how much did it go up. It is actually two harder questions. First, can an investor actually follow it? A strategy you abandon in a bear market has no return at all. And second, does it beat simply buying and holding Bitcoin, after taxes, through a full market cycle? The dismal history of crypto newsletters: most crypto research products fail both questions, and the reason is structural, not personal. The typical crypto newsletter runs on a publishing calendar, a new recommendation every month, because that is what the traditional newsletter subscription promises. However, even today, only a relative handful of crypto assets have genuine adoption, a valid use case, and accrue real value to holders, and a monthly mandate quickly burns through them. After that, the editor has no choice but to reach further out the risk curve, into smaller, more speculative tokens, to keep the recommendations coming. In a bull market, this looks like genius. The smaller and more speculative the token, the higher it typically soars, and the marketing rights itself. Then the cycle turns. The speculative picks fall 70%, 80%, 90%, or more, and unlike Bitcoin, most never come back. Most subscribers sell near the bottom, absorb the full loss, and blame crypto, when the real culprit was a business model that required new risk on a schedule. We're not guessing about any of this. Porter helped build the industry that runs on this model, and we've seen that it simply doesn't work for the crypto market today. What we've built instead runs on rules, not a calendar, and we tested it the way serious quantitative firms do. We locked every rule in writing before it ran. We pre-registered every pass/fail threshold, so nothing could be quietly adjusted afterward to flatter the outcome. The program ultimately ran nearly 2,000 simulations across 16 evaluation rounds on market data back to 2017, and every headline figure was independently re-verified from the raw daily portfolio values before any decision was made. 12 consecutive audits. Dozens of candidate designs failed and were discarded. What follows is what survived. No wallets, no keys, no predictions. Porter & Company's systematic crypto is not a traditional crypto letter. It is instead two model portfolios, Core and Frontier, based on fundamentals, governed entirely by preset rules, and delivered as specific instructions when a rule triggers. Four disciplines govern both strategies. A trend gate, once a month, a single long-term trend measure on Bitcoin sets the posture of the entire portfolio, fully invested when the trend is confirmed up, de-risked into cash, treasury bills, when it breaks down a circuit breaker, a weekly check that forces the portfolio defensive immediately if prices break decisively below trend mid-month, rather than waiting for the next monthly evaluation, a valuation overlay. When the gate turns back on after a stretch in which Bitcoin was demonstrably cheap on an on-chain valuation measure, the strategy temporarily leans in with extra exposure, then returns to normal weights as the cheapness gets priced out, deliberately lazy rebalancing. Positions are adjusted only when they drift meaningfully from target, checked quarterly, because frequent rebalancing is a tax and erodes returns. We made every one of those choices by elimination. Per asset signals, faster signals, average signals, no circuit breaker, tighter rebalancing, every alternative was tested rigorously, and each lost. One Bitcoin signal governs everything because that is what the evidence supports. The gate is monthly because faster checking whipsaws. The specific parameters are proprietary to the product, but the gate and the break together are why the worst losses in testing both strategies came in roughly 22 to 25 percentage points shallower than Bitcoin's. What really sets our crypto strategy apart is that it requires no crypto exchanges, no complicated wallets, and no keeping track of private keys. Every position in both portfolios is an ordinary exchange-traded fund, ETF, or stock that trades in any U.S. brokerage account, we recommend using one that offers commission-free trading and fractional shares, since Frontier's smaller positions are best held in exact dollar amounts. When a rule triggers, you'll receive an alert with exact instructions you can execute in minutes. The product is built around a budget of no more than 12 alerts in any year. The worst year in nearly a decade of testing needed 9 alerts. Finally, while each of these portfolios is fully built up front, they aren't necessarily frozen. Crypto is still a young, fast-moving asset class. New funds launch, businesses transform, novel use cases arise, and better vehicles for the same exposure appear, and we may update the lineup over time. Core. The flagship portfolio Core is the flagship, the strongest risk-adjusted performer of every design we tested, with the simplest possible experience. It holds 4 crypto ETFs plus a treasury bill reserve, just 5 total positions. When the trend gate is off, Core does not exit entirely. It cuts every crypto position to a fraction of its normal size and parks the proceeds in T-bills, keeping a foothold in case the trend resumes. Morgan Stanley Bitcoin ETF, MSBT, 48%. Bitcoin is the anchor, the scarcest, most institutionally owned asset in crypto, and the asset whose trend governs the entire portfolio. We hold it through Morgan Stanley's Spot ETF, launched in April, the same firm whose wealth management arm now tells its roughly 16,000 advisors to put 2% to 4% of client portfolios in crypto, as we detailed in May, which offers the lowest expense ratio in the industry. Grayscale Ethereum Mini Trust, ETH, 20%. Ether powers the network where institutional tokenization actually settles, BlackRock's Boole runs on it, and most tokenized real-world asset value sits on Ethereum. The mini trust is staking-enabled. The position earns the network staking yield inside the fund instead of leaving it on the table. Bitwise Solana Staking ETF, BSOL, 12%. Solana is the high-throughput settlement challenger, increasingly the second venue for tokenized assets and stablecoin activity, and Bossel stakes its holdings. Adoption has reached even the most conservative corners of finance. Dartmouth's $9 billion endowment disclosed just over 300,000 shares of this fund in its March filing, one of the first university endowments to hold crypto beyond Bitcoin and Ethereum, and its latest filing shows the position maintained. Bitwise Hyperliquid ETF, BHYP, 10%. Hyperliquid is the dominant decentralized derivatives exchange, and its token is unusual in crypto. The protocol routes nearly all of its trading fee revenue into buying the token back. The fund stakes roughly 70% of its holdings. It is the youngest asset in the portfolio, held at the smallest crypto weight, and a dedicated test confirmed the position earned its place in the results. iShares 0 to 3-month Treasury Bond ETF, SGOV, 10%. The parking lot. This is where de-risked capital sits, earning Treasury bill interest whenever the gate or the circuit breaker says step aside. In testing, Core spent roughly 29% of its days here. That patience is where the crash protection comes from. Now, before we share the performance data, a quick word about every number that follows. All performance is simulated, back-tested, and shown after tax at the top federal bracket, with the taxes paid out of the portfolio as it goes, the harshest honest convention we know of, and the one under which buy and hold Bitcoin is hardest to beat. Core's trading style means about half of its realized gains are taxed at short-term rates. Frontier is materially gentler, with roughly 3/4 of its gains taxed at long-term rates. Those drags are already inside every figure below. The table below shows Core versus two benchmarks, buying and holding Bitcoin alone, and a traditional institutional mix of 65% Bitcoin and 35% Ethereum, rebalanced quarterly, over 2 testing periods. The blind test comes first because it is the fairest test we have. Every rule was frozen using only data through 2021, then run forward on the next 4.5 years, as if the product had launched January 1, 2022, knowing nothing of what came next. The full period follows, its returns benefit from their January 2020 starting point, so the blind test figures are the better guide to what to expect going forward. Owning Core in practice, when the buy alert arrives, you make 5 purchases at the listed weights. After that, you act only when alerted, 5.5 times a year on average in testing, 9 times in the worst year, with each alert giving a specific instruction executable in one sitting at your broker. There is nothing to monitor between alerts, though the dashboards we publish in the coming weeks will let you watch everything. One expectation we'd like to set now, this is not an always-in system. In the full test period, Core held crypto about 71% of the time. The rest was spent in T-bills, earning interest and waiting, sometimes for months at a stretch while the trend was broken. Expect that. It is not the strategy failing. It is the strategy. Frontier. The broad thematic portfolio Frontier runs on the same basic engine, the same gate, break, valuation overlay, and lazy rebalancing, with the token positions at slightly reduced size. Frontier adds the two things Core deliberately leaves out: the businesses being built on top of crypto, and the companies turning their balance sheets into token vaults. It currently has 13 positions versus Core's 5. Counterintuitively, despite the larger number of holdings, it was the quietest strategy the entire program produced in backtesting, with about 3 alerts a year on average, and the gentlest on taxes. It also produced slightly better absolute returns, but slightly worse risk-adjusted returns, in our blind backtesting. However, several of its equity and digital asset treasury, DAT, holdings are relatively new issues and weren't trading during the full backtesting period. We expect this strategy could ultimately significantly outperform Core, at the cost of greater volatility. This strategy also has one key difference in mechanics: when the gate turns off, Frontier does not scale down as Core does. It exits its risk positions entirely and moves to T-bills until the trend returns. The token Core, MSBT, ETH, BESOL, and BAIP, 74 percentage points in total, is the same set of funds described above, at slightly smaller weights. The additions are two stock sleeves. The 10% equity basket holds the industry's infrastructure, equal weighted at 2.5% each. Coinbase Global, COIN, the center of U.S. crypto financialization, the largest American exchange and the custodian behind most U.S. spot crypto ETFs. Galaxy Digital, GLXY, the institutional merchant bank of the asset class, trading, asset management, and a growing data center business serving AI customers. Circle Internet, CRCL, the issuer of USDC, the second largest dollar stablecoin, with roughly $74 billion outstanding. Circle earns interest on the reserves backing every USDC in circulation, and its defining distribution agreement with Coinbase was renewed in August on existing terms through 2029. Figure Technology Solutions, FIGR, tokenization at commercial scale. Figure is the largest non-bank home equity lender in the country and runs its origination, securitization, and trading on blockchain rails, profitably, on a GAAP basis, that is, real earnings under standard accounting rules, not an adjusted metric, a rarity in this cohort. The 6% DAT basket holds something different: public operating companies whose main business has become accumulating a specific token per share. Where the ETFs give you a token at its price, a treasury company can, in the right conditions, give you the token at a discount. Currently, two of the four names trade at a deep discount to the market value of the tokens they hold. The sleeve is a small, deliberate bet that those discounts will close, and may eventually trade at a significant premium, as the cycle turns. Strive, AST, 2%. The Bitcoin accumulator. Strive, the asset manager co-founded by biotech entrepreneur Vivek Ramaswamy that went public in 2025, holds over 21,000 Bitcoin, a top 10 position among public companies, and added to it by acquiring fellow Bitcoin treasury company Semler Scientific in January. Debt is negligible. The one standing obligation is a preferred stock, SATA, that pays dividends daily, a senior claim that must be serviced whether Bitcoin cooperates or not. Sharplink, SBET, 2%. The Ethereum accumulator, and the cleanest balance sheet of the four. No debt, no preferred. Sharplink pivoted to an Ethereum treasury in June 2025, and now holds nearly 900,000 ETH, the second largest corporate Ethereum position in the world, roughly 0.7% of the entire supply, with substantially all of it staked and earning yield. Its Ethereum per share has roughly doubled since the strategy began. The trade-off: a meaningful portion of the treasury is held through liquid staking instruments, which layer smart contract risk on top of the asset itself. Forward Industries, FWDI, 1%. The Solana accumulator, the largest public Solana treasury, holding more of the token than the next three treasury companies combined, with staking run through validator partnerships with Galaxy and Jump. It is also, by a wide margin, the smallest company in either strategy, the closest thing in this product to a small cap stock, which is exactly why it carries the sleeve's minimum weight. Hyperliquid Strategies, PURR, 1%. The Hyperliquid accumulator, its treasury is HYPE, the network's native token, the same asset BAIP holds in the token Core, and the youngest of the four, public only since December 2025. It has the strongest institutional sponsorship in the sleeve, chaired by former Barclays CEO Bob Diamond with backing from several of the largest crypto investment firms, and it holds the only treasury whose token has performed well this year, powered by the fee-driven buybacks described above. The trade-off is a large block of sponsor shares and warrants registered for resale, which caps a portion of the upside. Every one of these names carries real encumbrances: the preferred dividends, the staking layers, the small size, the sponsor overhang, and none has been a treasury company for even 2 years. That is why the whole sleeve is 6 points, no position exceeds 2, and the master switch sells all 4 the moment the trend breaks. Here is Frontier's record, in the same format, blind test first, the first buy signal since 2023. Now the reason this report is in your inbox today. The trend gate that governs both strategies has been negative throughout the current bear market. A stretch these rules would have spent defensively parked in T-bills. Bitcoin's rally over the past several weeks has carried the measure to the edge of a positive reading. If Monday's month-end evaluation, August 31st, confirms it, the gate will turn on. The first new buy signal these rules have generated since 2023, and both strategies will move to fully invested. Here is exactly what happens next. On Tuesday, September 1st, we will send an alert stating definitively whether the signal triggered, with exact instructions for each strategy if it did. If Bitcoin fades into Monday's close and the signal does not confirm, we will do what the system does, nothing. The next decision window will then come at the end of September. No chasing, no judgment calls. The only thing the rules ask of you is the discipline to take the signal, including this first one, which arrives after a rally rather than at the absolute bottom. The system does not buy bottoms. It buys confirmations. That is what the record you just read is based on. Getting ready this weekend. These strategies are designed to be a complete crypto allocation, roughly 5% to 10% of investable assets for most investors. At that sizing, even a worst-case so far drawdown of about 50% is a 2.5% to 5% event at the household level. Not enjoyable, but recoverable. These strategies are not designed to be a majority of anyone's net worth, and sizing them that way removes the very property, survivability, they were built to provide. This weekend, decide which strategy fits best and get your account ready. A U.S. brokerage account, ideally with zero commissions and fractional share purchases. Frontier's 2 1% positions are $100 apiece on a $10,000 allocation. Fractional shares make exact weights easy. Without them, small rounding is fine. The tables below show how $10,000 would be allocated at Thursday's closing prices, August 27. Scale to your own allocation. Before the first alert arrives, let us be clear what this product is not. It is not a way to avoid crypto crashes. It is a way to make them shallower and shorter, and you should still expect losses of 40% to 55% in a severe bear market. It is not trading. Months can pass without an alert, and if you want action, this will bore you. The boredom is the strategy. It is not discretionary. We won't try to predict markets or override the rules, and it is not always in the market. Expect to spend roughly a third of your time in T-bills, including stretches where crypto rallies without you before the trend confirms. That cost is real, measured, and already incorporated in the returns mentioned in this report. What happens going forward? In the coming weeks, we will follow up with a full report, with complete strategy mechanics and a deeper review of all portfolio positions, along with tools built to make following these portfolios nearly effortless, including monitoring dashboards and a position size calculator for easy rebalancing. If anything changes in either strategy before then, we'll alert you. It will likely not be often. Across nearly a decade of testing, Core required action about 5 to 6 times a year, roughly once every 2 months, and Frontier about 3 times a year, roughly once every 4 months. However, we'll provide a monthly update on both portfolios regardless of any position changes. Your first alert may arrive Tuesday morning. Get your account ready, size the allocation correctly, and then let the system do the work for you. Good investing. Justin Brill Stevenson, Maryland.